The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Way I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton.
Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City that premieres on Guardian Radio every 6:30 to 8 p.m. on this wonderful station. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us at 422-GR96, and you can listen in Cable Bahamas live. I want to thank each and every one of you who take the time out, wonderful listeners, wonderful callers. You guys keep the conversation going. You know, I'd say to the callers, to you guys, you actually are my guests. So when you call it, you're actually the guest. When you call it, I just want you to know that. And I appreciate each and every one of you who come on the show, very respectful, and we have a decent conversation. And we're assuring the Bahamas and the world that we as Bahamians can, you know, have fairness in the country, from the lowest class citizens in the country, who are actually the highest class, because we have integrity and we have decency and we have morals. And it's good for us who have these conversations on the show to actually show that we are also intelligent and that we can see interpretations from some of our leaders, former leaders, who use their position of power to help influence the nation. We can talk a little bit more about that as the shows go on. And as the show goes on, I'm Valentino Brown, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City, and it's a pleasure again to be your host on this wonderful Friday. Today's conversation, we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to talk about what's happening in the newspaper. One of the topics we're going to talk about is how a few weeks ago in the Nassau Guardian, the Guardian is doing an extremely good job now about how they edited that newspaper. It's a lot more interesting, you know, like, for instance, government to tighten firearms act, you know, because we have citizens who, you know, went to the U.S. and, you know, U.S. teaches you many different trades, from making bombs to making cars to making, you know, basically just about anything that you possibly. Their job is to educate their citizens, and they have many, many, many different trades. And some of the trades, you know, some of the people inherit technology which they use illegally. And one of the most recent studies that the Bahamas law enforcement was talking about was the ghost guns. And they're talking about how you can, you know, copy these guns, like a Xerox copier, and then you could put the gun together, and et cetera. And that's what's going on in our country, and that's because of the Bahamians living abroad, American Bahamians coming back to the Bahamas. They have that trade, and when they come here, they bring that technology here. And just recently, I would like for the callers, if they would like to comment on the recent apprehension of a Bahamian citizen who was found with a cache of illegal firearms a few weeks ago. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he was brought before the courts. Assortments of firearms, high-powered rifles, high-powered handguns, the latest. And you know, according to, if I'm right, all together along with drugs, fire and bullets, he probably got 5 years. I guess he got 5 years for pleading guilty, not wasting the court time. Well, you know, I'm not here to judge the young man, you know, because, you know, mistakes, you know, everyone makes mistakes. But I'm just saying this indirectly, and this is not for him. This is just for anyone in the country right now who are doing these illegal trades, you know, trying to make money. Here's the thing, you know, because I myself, I did it when I was younger. I didn't know no better. But as I grew, I get to understand the damage and the consequences of dealing with illegal drugs and selling firearms and bullets, because it comes right back to you. You know, the bullet has no face, you know. So let me explain. Okay, just say this young man who just recently got sentenced for these firearms. The firearms that he had in his possession before the police was able to do the investigation and was able to put him before the courts. Just say if he was able to sell about 10 of those guns, and those guns are rampant in Arsenal Providence, and some of the recent murders could be connected to these incidents. Who do you think is responsible? Do you think he's responsible, or is the gun manufacturer responsible? Because even though he get catch with his class chef gun, and he's responsible, and he paid guilty for it, because, you know, his mom got locked up. So he pleaded guilty, and for not wasting the court time, he got 5 years. But what about how he got it through customs? Where is his connection through customs, or how he got the guns in? You know, I hope that with this 5 years that was given to him as a leniency, I hope that they ask him a lot of questions, like where was his entry point, who he's connected to, you know, where did he get the guns from? Did they come in from Jamaica? Did they come in from the United States of America? Or did they come from Haiti? You know, we need to know these details if he was given a 5 year leniency. Because like I said, you know, I was a young man and made a lot of mistakes. So I'm not criticizing this young man or looking for a stiffer penalty. I'm just saying that these kind of things, we have to look at it from this type of perspective that I'm presenting to the general public. Right? Not only that, the ACM firearms that were sold to individuals on the streets to do illegal activities, you know, he is also responsible for. Now, indirectly, you know, but still, you know, he's not fully to blame. You know, it's the person who shipped the guns. It's the person who got the guns in the country. It's the person who he's connected with. They are the main culprits. You know, and to me, when it comes to the 5 year sentence, you know, like I said, I don't like to see no young man or no young female behind prison walls, first of all. You know, but it's in place for a reason. It's inhumane, but some of us are doing for more. You know, it's there to keep the balance. You know, so you have to do it all your might to avoid prison and to avoid doing illegal activities in the country, you know, because we want a productive society. But I'm not criticizing or looking for a long time for this young man. I'm just saying that, you know, we need to look at the overall perspective of this. And did our law enforcement, did our court system give him this 5 year sentence because of leniency, because he did not waste the court time? But they also have to look at the fact that these guns that he had are in various different people's hands, and they're causing havoc to innocent people in the country. And that holds a big unanswered question. Because he, you know, and I'm not saying that he's supposed to be a snitch or nothing like that, because, you know, his life also could be in danger, because you never know who he's connected to. So that's something I wouldn't even advise him to do, because, you know, it could be a tricky situation where he could also lose his life, because when you go talking to somebody else, you're bringing in somebody else, you know who's connected to who. So even this young man's life, who, if he wanted to probably give information, you know, it's a very, very tricky situation. Very, very tricky situation. But to me, just how I feel about the whole matter. Like I said, I was on the streets, I was doing wrong. But I said, I'm a changed citizen. You understand? And I'm never, ever going to look at myself and believe that I'm better than somebody. I have to remember, I always have to remember, I was that same age, I was making those same mistakes. The only thing I could do now is try to correct those mistakes by those who listen and know that those guys who selling these guns, these guys are selling drugs, you know. You got to be discreet. You got to be careful. You know, you can't sell guns to any and everybody. You can't sell drugs to kids. You know, these are no-no, you know. So you might be saying, well, why are you saying these things? You know, you're encouraging people. I ain't encouraging nobody. It is what it is on the streets of Nassau right now. Okay? This is not encouraging nobody. Because if something's going on in the country right now, and if there's a better way you can influence them to do it better, you might not want them to do it at all. But it is what it is, you know. Every community get guys selling drugs. Every community get young guys walking around with high-powered rifle and handguns. Okay? Every community get bad guys. You know? Then we get guys who bother the bad guys. Okay? So it is what it is. And if you could reach him by saying, man, look here, you're selling your little weed. Why you get all these guys with ankle braces around you? All these guys come charged for murder. You know that the police come and check you on a regular basis. You ain't serious. You understand? Because this could slow down things from happening in the communities, because if you say this to him, he'd clean up his act, and these guys from all around the country with ankle bracelets who are involved in all kinds of violent crimes would not come around no more and hang up in that spot and would not be a hot spot no more. You know, and that's why the police is be so aggressive when they come in the city community. Because when they come to this hot spot, they get, see all these ankle bracelets, they're hanging up on the spot, and then a lot of shooting and a lot of gunshot firing off, so the police come aggressive, and when they come, they don't know who is innocent from who is innocent, so everyone feeling the pinch when the police come in the community. And that's because the stupidity of persons who are selling drugs and don't know how to sell drugs. You know? So, yeah, like that kind of stuff. You know, I's doing my community, you know? I try wising them up a little bit, and to my benefit, it rings and makes sense to them, you know? So for me, again, I feel that, you know, the 5 years, like I say, he's a young man, you know, he has a family, you know, and like I said, I don't want to see the one behind pass. But if I'm correct, the law states that a firearm is, I think, 2 years, and they normally give 4 years. And if I'm correct, it's supposed to be 1 year for each shot. Now, I know that we want to toughen the firearms act and give high penalties. Some people say 25 years, 50 years for firearm in the country. You know, just say if I would agree with them. Do you really believe that it's going to stop what is going on in our country right now? Do you believe hanging will? No. The only thing I think can change the dynamics of this country is kindness and empowerment. And we show them what true Christianity is and what Jesus is all about. And that's to uplift everyone. You know, and I think that comes with kindness and love. I think what we have going on right now in the country is a style, you know. Remember blue jeans? That's why everyone wear blue jeans, because, you know, one person wear blue jeans and everyone started wearing blue jeans. Then everyone started wearing white t-shirts and singlet shirts. Everyone went to march for wearing the blue jeans. It's a white t-shirt or a singlet. But a Nike tennis or Jordan tennis. Yeah, so to me, like I said, gun's supposed to be 2 years, and I think the judge normally give 4 years, and then a bullet for each shot. You know, that's a lot of crime going on in the country, and we're looking to stiffen the law. And like I said, I would agree with many people, 25, 50 years. You know, my friends in town are always saying that. But you know, living on the streets all my life, being a part of it and still a part of it, you know, I live in the community, still live in the community, you know, because I'm building my business in the community. I'm building up the community for empowerment. And I still talk to the younger generations. You know, I play ball every Sunday, but so we're listening to that conversation on the side. And it's similar to like what we went through when we were younger. You know? And, you know, some of them got their gap, but they have no future. You know, talking to them, I asked some of them, you know, what they'd like to do. Some of them can't even mention what they'd like to do. You know, so a part of my giving back in the Grantstown community, you know, partnered with Lenahan Bahamas, my good friend, who's the president of Lucas Metropolis, who I was introduced to by former president of the Ranfurly Home for Children, Miss Alexandria Melis. She's now retired. She's doing a private practice. You know, she's a wonderful chef, Greek chef. I met her 15 years ago, and she has been my biggest supporter. And ever since we met, you know, I always had an agenda on how I could give back and how I can make changes in the community. Now, not knowing to most people who are listening, I had no clue. I only prayed to the Father and I asked him if he could guide me and give me the right vision, what I can do to help my community, because I see that, you know, they want help, but, you know, it's too far. BTVI is out the community. The church, you know, we're getting the church involved, but, you know, we got to do some things up from the ground with the community and how we can be able to assist them immediately and effectively. And one of the things I figured out as I asked the Father was to find a way to build a center. And I was able to make contact with Ms. Melis, and then she introduced me to Lucas Metropolis. And he and I worked together for about 4 or 5 years working with this program, Fishing for Families in Need. Now, I'm a poor young man, and I have nothing, all right? But I had a vision and a plan for the community. And he asked me, based on how we were doing the program for 4 years, by my place, what now was my place of residence, where I would do a little small get-together, and that was more like my community center. And he asked me, how could he help? Because he grown attached to the Bahamas. He grown attached to Grantstown. He grown attached to the kids in the community. You know, he fell in love with the community. You know, and he's from Florida. You know, has a very nice family. His mom passed away year before last, and he fall in love. And I said, you know, he said, man, Scrooge, man, what you do around here is amazing, man. See, everyone knows you. You know, all the kids love you, you know. And I said, boy, I feel so good. This makes me feel so good knowing that I'm doing something good for my community. And I said, you want to do something even better. So he asked me, say, how can I help you? I said, Lucas, my brother, I said that if you could help me look for one of these abandoned properties that, you know, I cleaned down over the years and see if you could purchase it and build a community center to teach the kids them trades and the educational programs, and to give them scholarship. And it rang a bell to him, and he was immediately fascinated with the idea. So he said, if you build a center, and I said, yeah, like how we have these 40, 50 kids, because, you know, I have 50, 60 kids in the community to win this program with him. In fact, one of them is Adina Webster. If you see her now, she was on the news on her cousin. And she started off on H Street Park. Now she's away. She was second in the nation in scoring, a Bahamian, grew up in Grantstown. Now she's in college now. You know, with her skills, she's looking to go in the woman NBA. You know? So she was one of the kids who were part of the program. And just to keep them motivated besides the basketball, because we had them doing different programs. And Lucas was able to understand, and we set out. And we canvassed the area, me and Lucas, and we checked out a few spots, and then, you know, we find some difficulty with the title. And then eventually we were walking, and we end up seeing Pastor Ed Dorsett from East Creek Gospel Chapel Church. And we end up having a conversation with him, telling him what we are planning and what we're looking to do. And then Mrs. Dorsett pointed and said that, you know, his mom, the late great Mrs. Dorsett, you know, he said that she had similar plans to give back, and without any money involved, he said that if he would consider utilizing their property, which was on Lewis Creek, and it was right in the vicinity because we need teens in the area, you know, because BTVI is Veiled Soldier Road, and it's Educational College of the Bahamas, I mean, University of the Bahamas is over here, around the Guardian area. And you know, that ended up like that. Lucas ended up meeting Miss Sheila Pritchett, you know. And then Mitzi was ever working with me in the community. And then she ended up partnershiping with Sheila Pritchett. And then they formed Lenahan Bahamas. And now we've been around now about 7-8 years now. A lot of the kids now are going off to school. Some have been adopted from various people who come to the center. There's various programs. They have the seniors every month where they would go around the community and give away gifts to seniors. Have a lot of kids program. They do back to school. It has actually changed the dynamics of the community. And now that we are having not one, but you're going to have 3 centers in the community. We also been in a culinary kitchen on Hay Street to teach culinary dishes. And that's going to be very beneficial for that part of the community because a lot of the kids, them can learn how to cook different various food, Indian, Chinese, and they could use these skills to carry their career to a whole different level. So we're just bringing them the opportunity. So I'm going to say to all the residents that live in the Lewis Street, Hay Street, and Taylor Street, even in the Mason Edition area around Bantan, get your kids registered at the Lewis Street, Lenahan, Bahamas, because there are so many opportunities there for your kids. And there are many great instructors. There are many people who are partnershiping with Lenahan, Bahamas, and they're teaching the kids so many different programs and beneficial programs. They're also starting an empowerment program in the community. So the sky's the limit right now for the community, and we're continuing to build. I also like to give a shout out to Robin and Brent Simonet for their continued support of helping assisting with the cleanup effort in the community, because we also wanted the community to be clean, because when the center is open, we don't want no abandoned houses. We want yards fenced up. We want all the yards cleaned up. We don't want to see no abandoned cars on the side of the road because we have a lot of guests that will be visiting the center. So we want a clean and beautiful community. And we have been doing that for the last, for the last 12 to 18 years. I move a lot of tons of trash. I move a couple of abandoned houses. You know, I've been assisting people numerous years in the community to clean up. You know, it was a hard out of progress, you know, because you clean up and people dump right back again, then you got to clean up again, then you got to clean up again, and clean up again. The community now is starting to get it because the assistance that Mr. Simonet and his wife given with the working with Bahamas Waste, you know, and also to get some guys, you know, to buy into what we're doing and just working, because empowerment is going to come. So I think this is the way how we're going to be able to get the firearms out of the hands of the younger generation in this country. You know, we have the whole alternative. And I think it's just a mindset. And I think if we put the proper programs in place in the community, I think that it would drastically change the dynamics of the community. And that's actually happening in our community. So I just want to say thanks to, Ms. Alexander Melis, the Dorsett family, Parky Dorsett, Ed Dorsett, the Simonet family, the Lewis Street family, you know, again, Miss Pritchett, Mitzi Burrows, Lucas Metropolis, you know, East Street Gospel Chapel Church, you know, and many others who I can't remember on hand, but the whole entire partners of Lennon Bahamas, I want to say thanks to each and every one of you for being a part of the redevelopment of the inner city community of Grandstand and the Bahamas. Yeah, so like I said, that's the only way we're going to be able to change the economics of the community. So I was talking a little earlier about the sentence to the firearm. And like I said, many people believe a tougher sentence or hanging or any one of these things will change the mindset. No. Let me give you a prime example with hanging. See, me, I've been in some of the most serious set of sins and been involved with some of the most serious set of criminals and high-profile people in the country. Whether it's politics, whether it's high-profile criminals, whether it's high-profile drug dealers or whatever, high-profile gangsters. I've known them all. All have talked to me. I've hung around. So let me just say this. In 2000, David Mitchell was convicted and he was sentenced to hang for two Canadian or Australian tourists that he was convicted of killing. He was hanged in 2000. And when he got hanged, you know, it was a stigma in the country where everyone was watching the witness. And because the country was so violent at that particular time, it still is. And then, you know, we were very corrupt, and the bomb is still a very corrupt place. Like I said, you know, you give information to some police, and some police would give it information, your private information, and then would cost your life. You understand? This has been said many times. People on Facebook saying that this is just how it is. And boy, yeah. You know, and many people would want to do the right thing. But in some cases, like I said, you can't do the right thing. You know, because our system is an unforgiving system. And many of our younger youths in the country who carries a firearm, like I say, talk to them. No, they say it's for their protection. They say, you know, that's how the streets run. And honestly speaking, it's the truth, you know, because our law enforcement can't keep pace with being here, being there, being here, being there. That's why when you look on the news, eyewitness news, you'd see where officers on the scene of a murder here. Then you look officers on the scene of the murder here. Then when you look officers on the scene of the murder here. Okay? It's impossible for the police to be everywhere at once. So that's why community development is the number one answer to the violent crime that is plaguing our country. And toughening the gun laws, to me, when I talk to my friend David Mitchell, you know, he got hanged. And when he got hanged, all of us who were on the streets started saying, oh, what, boy, I ain't going to jail. And we started talking about the witness, how are we going to get rid of the witness? Just how our mindset was, you know, we got to get rid of the witness. And then if you look around at a particular time, you see a lot of witnesses who were going to court, you know, were targeted, you know. And that's because we were programmed to fight the system and to preserve our freedom. You know, and that's the mindset of today's youth. And today's youth, I mean, we, back in the day, we try to stay out the hands of the police and not go to prison. Like if we get locked up, we get integrity. Like CID, we know to keep our mouth closed, not to incriminate nobody else, because you know if you incriminate somebody else, it's your word against his word. So now the police has the case. Nowadays, when guys do serious crimes today, they do a murder scene today. By tomorrow, they probably be in CDU on. And by the next day, there are friends who was involved in the shooting and many others who was involved in the shooting. They themselves would be locked up. And then in there, when all of this bird's done, the one who snitched is going to be the one who get killed. And then that how things end up for most guys who are in these shooting incidents in the country. And that's why most people who kill someone today, you know, they don't take life serious. You know, they would do a shooting today, tonight, and tomorrow they stand up in the road like everything cool. Why is the guy's family and friends who you shoot, you think you scaring everyone, you ain't intelligent enough to know that what you just did is going to be a retaliation. But in your mind, you so believe that you're so bad, you know, that you ain't even thinking that guys are going to come back for you. And then when the guys do come back for you, you know, you're going to run with your leg. You're going to run with your leg, or you're going to run with your gun between your leg and no return fire. If you notice some of the shootings were going on, you'd see numerous guys who, you know, are involved in shooting incidents, and then their assailants come looking for them. And you'd see they'd have a gun on them, and some of them don't even fire a shot. You know, they're running with their gun. So it just goes to show you, you know, you don't pull the trigger, but you don't get a shootout. So, let me just say this to the guys in the country. If you ain't ready to get shoot at, don't go out there and shoot nobody. You understand? Because guess what? People get friends, they get family, and they think in the same way as you. And they may be thinking more seriously than you. And that's what's going on in our country right now. And like I said, you know, I understand all that. And that's why I came up with my solution. And my solution is to bring partners in the community who eventually, when they come in, out of great ideas would manifest out of this collaboration and partnership, and that's exactly what happened with Lenon Bombers. I also like to give a shout out to Rotary Club of East Nassau, who's been assisting me for many years as well, you know, and also again, Bahamas Race. Okay, now, I think that's enough for that. Let me get some of the callers to call in today. And like I said, I don't think giving people more time for firearm possession is going to change anything. I don't believe hanging is going to change anything. You know, again, on this with the crime part, because think about this. All these broad day shooting, where guys jumping and shooting the police. Police are patrolling the streets, heavily armed. And these incidents still are happening. Sometimes the police is beyond the scene and the police don't even respond. Because what they're seeing is when they see two young men jump out of a car and they let them go with two AK-47 and a handgun, you think as a police officer, you want to go and confront those young men whilst they're shooting those guns at somebody? The police sometimes be smart. They want to see those guns go empty. Then they attack those assailants. You know, because that's be plenty corn. And these guys can't drum. You know? And then also, let me rub this last part in. You know, we talk about all the criminals. But the commissioner of police, he owes the general public an apology. Because there are numerous officers over the last few years of being charged with serious offenses before the court. And we hear reports from liaison officers, people unknown, you know, when they get gunned down. But what about these senior officers who get charged with serious offenses, criminal offenses? They're being thrown off the force. And we're not hearing an apology from the top brass corp in the country. He needs to address that. He needs to list the officers who are charged with these serious offenses, you know, and who are being dismissed. I know some of the matters are before the court, so he can't discuss it. But what he needs to do because it's not all about the criminals on the streets. All of these officers who are being charged from sexual assault to possession of narcotics. You know, another highly valued crime of robbery. You know, we have seen officers who innocent until proven guilty, you know, being accused of taking funds from a citizen. And the commissioner believes he needs to address this. He needs to just come out straight. Let the general public know, make a public announcement, public speech. Let the general public know. And then say to the Bahamian people that now it's not just the criminals on the streets, it's in our ranks. And this is how we are dealing with it, because they have let go of a lot of senior officers lately, or put them on half pay, but some are being fired. So by you firing them, it shows the general public that you guys are committed to rooting the Royal Bahamas Police Force of corruption. You understand? So it's very important, because right now, when you listen, the police is getting some of these charges just like guys on the street. The other day we saw a police who was doing a drive-by shooting. Huh? And he was caught. And he was the police. And he doing drive-by shooting, but if he didn't get away, that's a guy on the street. Get blamed for what a police officer doing who in uniform. So it's only right. And then as commissioner, he need to talk about the penalty for officers who are involved in these high profile crimes, and they're using a badge as a disguise to do their illegal activities. And we have to address that, and the commissioner needs to address that, because lately we have been hearing police get charged for serious offenses in the country. Okay, now, we're done with that part. This part of the show we're going to talk about the upcoming Joan Foyce F&M convention, where the former Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, Dr. Hubert Minnis, will be vying to be the opposite leader again. So he'll be challenging the young Michael Pintard. You know, a few weeks ago on the show, there was a speech being made by former cabinet minister and minister of immigration, the Honorable Brandon McCartney. And he was speaking on behalf of former Prime Minister, the Honorable Hubert Alexander Minnis. And Mr. McCartney was saying that, you know, he feel that the former Prime Minister deserves a second chance. And, you know, when I heard that, I was home, you know, I was listening. And I said to myself, here we go again. I said, that means that when you hear things like that, we as Bahamians, you know, we have this spirit. You know, we can sense things by people's talks and actions, and then we know from previous comments like that from Poisons of Power many years ago, similar, like, you know they're supporting somebody. So when I heard that, you know, he said that, you know, this week I was going to come on, and that's when I talked about it a few weeks ago, when I said that Mr. McCartney, you know, he is looking for something, you know, because, you know, he was in the Free National Movement Party, and him and former Prime Minister Ingram had a little fallout, you know, and, you know, because of that, you know, he departed, and then he started his own organization called the Democratic Alliance. You know, Foyce was very successful going to help decide, you know, which government became the government of the Bahamas. And he, you know, made a speech on Garden Radio, and he was supporting Menace, saying that Menace deserved a second chance. And, you know, I said that when you see things like that, that means they were getting ready to try out the current opposition leader, Michael Pintat. People don't know the power of the opposition leader. Opposition leader gets a car, he gets paid, and he gets protection, means police protection. He is the Queen's opposition. He also, you know, speaks on behalf of the Bahamian people. Rich, he might be saying the Bahamian people, but he is actually talking about his party, the Free National Movement. He would speak on issues concerning the Bahamian people, but he is actually speaking on behalf of his party, you know, not just the way it is, even though he says he speaks for the Bahamian people. Just like how many representatives would go and say they're speaking for the great people of Ragged Island or Cat Island or being a grandstand or wherever, St. Susie or whatever. Rich and, you know, they only speaking for their agenda. And that's how it go. Because you'd all see them going, oh, it's a parliament, and they'd say they're speaking on behalf of the people of this, that. No, they're speaking on behalf of their party and their party's agenda. And sometimes they speak on things that are concerning the Bahamian people, but makes little progress. So, Mr. McCartney, he made a speech, and I said, I read between the lines, and I came on the show, and I said that, you know, they're looking to out the current opposition leader. I don't know why they're trying to out Michael Pintat. I guess that the former prime minister, Menace, who doomed himself now, it ain't the fault of the Bahamian people. You doomed yourself, you call early election. I guess that all of your consultants who you had on the side of you told you that, you know, you're doing great, you know, everyone likes you. You know, if you go now, you could be the PLP at the polls. You know, everyone love you. You know, all that was a lie. You know, because, you know, honestly speaking, a dog don't like to be logged on. And not only that, you know, a lot of mistakes were made. A lot of misinformation was circling. You know, people were starving. People were thirsty, people were hungry. You know, it was crazy, you know? It was crazy. And, you know, Mr. McCartney said that, you know, Menace inherit, you know, the COVID-19, and then he inherited the hurricane that wiped out Abaco, killed hundreds, probably thousands of Haitian nationals and Bahamians living there. And the most hurtful part about it is this, that we feel that as Bahamians who are watching that, we feel that the estimate of people that they're seeing that were swept away in that devastating hurricane, you know, we feel that the prime minister was not telling the truth. We feel that there were thousands of illegal Haitian nationals who were there who were not supposed to be there. And because the bungalows, which you call the government mess up, let me put it like that, of not regulating, not patrolling, not policing, and you allowed a lot of people who came here illegally to actually be slaughtered, you know, swept away because you allowed something to get out of hand, you know, so no more authority was really functioning down there when orders were given for person to evacuate the mud. And the prime minister were down there and all orders were given with the defense force. Some people decided to stay. And in the process, you know, thousands and millions of dollars were lost. And then when we listened to the prime minister based on evidence, many people stating that what they saw with their own eyes, how many bodies they saw, and many people was way overestimating the count of bodies. Some people were saying what the government was talking about, you know, a couple hundreds or thousands. And And people were saying he was saying that because, you know, there were a lot of illegal immigrants living in Abaco, and the prime minister didn't want the international world to know that there were so many illegal people living there, and he was not policing the country. And Mr. Brenwell McCartney was insinuating that he inherited these natural disasters, and that no one who is a leader of a country or no one who is a president of a country could have done a better job or could be prepared. Well, there's a manual for natural disasters, you understand? And in response to him, you know, he had all the help he needed. It's just that sometimes when you inherit a position, a prime minister, you become almighty. And his title was, incompetent, what it is? Something, but anyway, you know, I don't follow up these people. But anyway, he had a specific title where he had full control over the country. And, you know, and the Coconut Boys, you know, and then there were things spread about his father gas station opening, and then it was the ABC, you know, and all that stuff. Then it was the lockdown, quarantine, and he stated that sometimes people's constitutional rights, you know, be violated. And that was like when people were coming in from the United States of America, and when they reached the airport, there were buses of police standing by. Those persons who came off the plane were not notified, or reading the news, you know, looking at the news, they were not notified that they were going to be taken and quarantined. And they were taken to a disclosed location. And that's constitutional violation right there. And that they were the things that he was speaking on. You know, and it was a really bad distaste in the Bahamian people's mouth, ears, and eyes. You know, and they felt that they were treated badly. You know, and they couldn't wait to get to the polls. And like Mr. McCartney was stating that, you know, you couldn't prepare. But he had an opportunity when two former prime ministers, former Prime Minister the Honorable Perry Gladstone Christie, former Prime Minister Hubert Alexander Ingram, they lent their hands. They still work for the Bahamian people, you know, even though they retired. They're still paying their pensions, and they're still going to be former prime ministers, and they're still going to be heads of states in the country. So we're still paying them. So if we're paying them, they're well connected, more connected than when the former prime minister was there, more connected than minister when he was there. Because, you know, Mr. Christie did 10 years as prime minister. Ingram did 15. But both of those guys have done probably over 100 years in politics. Their connection is extensive. Their reach is all around the world. So when he was given an opportunity, this is just my assessment about it, you know, when he was given an opportunity to allow those two former prime ministers to help him, he had an opportunity where they could take all the pressure off him. He could have two former prime ministers sitting on, dealing with Hurricane Dorian. They're talking internationally, they're on the ground. So that means him as current prime minister, he can focus more on important matters, like the Overdale Initiative, you know? And I know you inherited COVID-19, but this is where you could have put your emphasis and trust in, because you could have those same two prime ministers who are actually still being paid. Because remember, I tell you all people, every year, those two gentlemen, Perry Gladstone Christie and Ingram, collects over $100,000 of the Bahamian people's taxpayers' money. So they're still working for us. So he still could give them an appointment. And this alone would allow him to do a lot of more important matters concerning the Bahamian people. But no, he decided he don't want none of those guys. And those guys are well connected. And that would have been a plus to him. A big plus to him. So He wants a second chance. He wants a second chance because remember Mr. Christie? When he messed up the first time, when he's in Bowl. Remember? And when he lost the general election, he did some disgusting things to the Vietnamese people. You know, disgusting things. Said some things. Did some things. And that alone is what he lost the first election. And at the time, he had one of the highest economy and still lose the general election. And he was opposition. And he cried. He cried and he fought for the opposition leader post. And he got it. And he fought. And he said, give him a second chance and he'd do better and he'd do better. He said, some people who he's supposed to do some things before and he messed up. And he was given a second chance. Only because he wanted a second chance because he wanted his pensions, you know. If you want to get your pension, you have to do 2 terms as a prime minister. And that was stated when Mr. Christie was trying to ask the Vietnamese people for a second chance. So I guess this chance minister wants a second chance. He might want to redeem himself. He might want to say, you know, if you get back in power, you really might want to help the people. You know, he might really have a heart for the people now, you know, and really want to do good for the people. But boy, I don't know if he could trust ever again. We have this call on the line, so we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, peace and love, Scrooge. How you going?
Good night to you, brother.
Yeah, man, bro. Everything cool. Hey, Scrooge, man, just now when you were saying something about, say maybe they have a heart or something, that's the last thing you were saying, say maybe they have a heart or something, you never know, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, but no heart, man, Scrooge, man.
Go ahead, brother.
No, man, it's about, it's about ideas, man, and solutions. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead,
you know
brother.
I mean, that is what it's about, Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have those things,
you shouldn't be leader.
Yeah, I mean, what you coming back for?
Mm-hmm.
You coming back to get them 2 times, man? The same thing you what you just finished talking.
Yeah,
about
you want to get his pension. You want to get his pension.
Your pension to make your pension fatter.
And he
right? I mean, because like I mean, I heard him say something about he want to come back because to do some stuff, man. But tell us what it is you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, sir.
Lay it out for us what you want to do, because if you lay it out for us what you want to do now, and if it's different from anybody else's idea,
mm-hmm.
when somebody else repeats it, you could say, hey, see, that's my idea, but then you shouldn't care, because as long as your idea is being implemented for the people, you shouldn't care.
That's right.
You shouldn't even care, even if you don't get credit for it.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Because if your main concern
is about the people,
is helping the people, that's the only thing you should be concerned about, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
You understand where I'm coming from, mm-hmm. my brother?
Yes, sir, you're right.
And politics is the enemy of the people, man.
I agree with you 100%.
You understand? Ain't no solution in politics, all right? Because it, mm-hmm. it's not designed for that.
I know that.
You know what I mean? When you research it, because it's always good to know where things come from.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I'm coming from, and the reason why things were created.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, Scrooge? And when you understand those mm-hmm. things, when you understand that even when democracy, this whole thing, when it was started in Greece, There was a problem with it. When you have time, Scrooge, if you have never done it, go look up Socrates and look at what Socrates said about politicians and politics. He said that as long as the people are uneducated
mm-hmm.
and like cannot think critically,
mm-hmm.
that's the perfect ingredients or whatever for politicians to come and take advantage of them.
And that's exactly what's going on in Haiti and places like that. And
yes,
that's exactly what's going on in the country.
Notice, brother, our politicians ain't concerned about education.
Mm-hmm. And empowerment.
Know, they run here
mm-hmm.
trying to make a D average sound like it as mm-hmm. if it's a B+.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? As if it should be normalized.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You don't see them trying to improve the education system. Why? Because they need the people to be dumb.
And the education is an indication of why we have so much high crime in the country.
You understand where I'm coming from? Because the people cannot think properly.
Mm-hmm.
And see, even if you have poor people, but they kind of educated, I mean, you know, you know how to solve issues. You know,
that's right. You would be able to solve some issues.
In the community, being people of the voice of reason.
Yes.
You understand? I mean, you don't have that right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You have a rat race.
That's right, sir.
You understand where I'm coming from? While the politician just throwing a little piece of cheese in the cage with a mm-hmm. bunch of rats to fight over.
Mm-hmm. You're right,
you understand?
Sir.
Or a piece missing, drop in the cage, we could eat it.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, and Scrooge, I mean, like, you see right now how, like Mr. Pintar is supposed to be, I think he's supposed to be the head of the public accounts committee or something like that, right?
Yes, sir, go ahead, sir.
What are you there for?
Ain't tabling nothing here.
Like, what the accounts committee all about?
Well,
You understand? Like, what is it all about, Scrooge? I mean, can he really hold the government accountable? I mean, if not, then what is it there for?
Well,
yeah. And if you can't hold the government accountable, really do something, like, mm-hmm. Why haven't you done something?
Well, let me just say one little word. I don't want to cut you off,
and then
I'm going to let you continue. That's what I feel. I believe certain things, the opposition works with the government because all of them have their earnings, what they make, why is they a part of the opposition, why is they make part of government. So you wouldn't want to expose what the boy get because he know what you get. So you don't want to talk him because, you know, it's like...
You understand, man. One time, I remember Miss Moxie, hope she rest in peace. Ms. Moxie had a talk show.
Teresa Moxie.
I called her one time and I said, Ms. Moxie, when I used to listen to them MPs come in the house, and when they start, like when the new government come in,
mm-hmm.
and they start talking about like what the old government do, because, you know, notice they come and say, boy, like they be telling the people, boy, y'all wouldn't want to know what this one been doing.
That's right. Or like when
you wouldn't want to know what this one been doing. Boy, the people know what y'all been doing.
When they going to say, but the cookie jar, remember they going to say, but the cookie jar too?
You understand? I told her that when MPs come in and they look at what other MPs have done, they'd be like, what? That's what that person do?
Yeah.
Say, well, you know, I can say that's what that person do, then you know for sure that I can do more than that.
Yeah.
You understand? And like you said, once I don't do dirt, and once you don't do dirt, then we ain't gonna talk on each other, you see?
No, because he is not given a real account.
And plus, anybody want to wreck the gravy train?
No. No, because the whole agenda is for everyone to get rich, regardless.
Yeah, Scrooge is a game. Scrooge, I mean, like I said before, Scrooge, I mean, we watch governments whereas
a government
could be in opposition, right? And they'll be against something that the ruling government, the mm-hmm. ruling party, trying to put through.
I mean,
right?
They come in.
And then when they get elected, the same thing they're arguing about, I mean, against the same thing they put in place. I mean, what kind of nonsense is this be? Like, Scrooge, I mean, we really gotta reevaluate ourselves. Yeah, man, we really gotta show these people. I'm like, the game is up, man. Like, ain't stupid no more, man. And another thing, too, Scrooge.
Go ahead, brother.
If there's a person out there who wants to represent the people, right? And like right now, how this BPL situation going on, right? Like it seems as if everybody who want to lead us still down with privatizing the thing, like, but that in the best interest of the people, Scrooge, is for us to continue to own it as a people, right? That way, even if the electricity bills are high, Scrooge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every dollar you spend, that's mine and yours.
Yep.
You understand? And then, and we could take that money, Scrooge, and we can invest that into education.
That's right.
Into healthcare. You understand? Like, if the government, like, if we had true leaders. You understand? If we had leaders with integrity, see, that's the way it's supposed to run. And, and the sad thing about it is that these same leaders who come in, they ruin the things that are meant for our best interest, right, Scrooge?
Yeah.
We lose it. I mean, like, we pay these people to look out for our best interest. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we pay them to destroy us, right, for one, right? And then, like, sometimes these same individuals invested in these same companies were coming to take over the things.
That is the truth.
Like, how could that even be? How could that even, like, I mean, Scrooge.
Listen, my brother, you actually said something. You're telling the truth. See, most of our politicians.
Like, you can't get more evil than that. You understand? You can't get more evil than that. And just the other day, I said on CA Show, right, because, you know, people like to talk about the former Prime Minister, Sir Lyndon Pendleton, and that quote he used to say, if the Bahamian people are not willing to stand up and fight for their country, they could lose it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked CA and Aaron Green, Miss Aaron Green, I asked them, well, who was the Prime Minister talking about? Because he never said who we have to fight, right? Mm-hmm. And I told him that after I taught him about it, right, Scrooge. I said the only people he could have been talking about is people like him, the politicians, because they are the only people, Scrooge, who could cause us to lose the country. And if we are not willing to stand up and fight against them and tell them no, then we can lose it just like right now. Just like right now, we ain't standing up and saying number BPL, so we can lose that. Do you understand? And then, and people need to understand, with every government entity that we lose, that is representation of us losing the country because we are no longer in control of that. We have no say in that, and somebody else now is in power over us. So with everything that we sell that we used to own, that's how we losing the country.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You understand where I'm from, Scrooge? That's how we losing the country, and who's selling it? How we losing it? Because of the same people who we elect, man. And Scrooge, we need to put an end. We need to put an end to that stupid saying that we need to sell it because the government can't run these entities, right? But then the government running the whole country. You understand? And I'm not willing to elect anyone. Because I asked a lady today, the former leader of the DNA, she was on Naughty Show, and I asked her how she feel about the privatization of BPL. She feels as if we should keep it wholeheartedly for Bahamians, for all of us, or we should privatize it in some way. I asked her which is in the best interest, and her excuse was that, well, you know, governments can't run corporations. But guess what, miss? If that's how you feel, then we don't want you run for the House, because you don't have it in your mind. That as a person who being elected, you are not capable of running our thing. We don't want you to. We want people who have the mindset and the confidence to know that, listen, we can run this thing, and we can run it efficiently, and we can have integrity, and the money is going to go, and it's going to run, and for the best interest of the people. We don't want anybody coming and talking about government can't run this, but if you can't run one entity, don't run for government, because government involves a bunch of different other things than that, too. So if you can't run one small aspect of it, you can't run the whole thing. You understand where I come from, my brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We need to put an end to these stupid things that they be telling us. Because Scrooge, I could touch this one last point on that, and then I want to say one quick thing about the gun. Didn't I say this, Scrooge? If you own a grocery store or any kind of business, right, where everybody got to come to you, right? Got to come to you, right? It's just as it's a family business. Everybody, and everybody got to come to you, screw it, right? Your food store, right? What in the world is going to possess you now? One day they say, you know something? I need competition. What's going to possess you to say that's good?
Wow.
Huh? What is going to possess you to say that? And the reason why I say that is because we as a people supposed to own BPL, man. That's ours, man.
I agree with you.
You know, do you understand?
I agree with you.
What we do is we allow the politicians to trick us into asking for our own demise. You know what I mean? We want competition. Ooh, we want the service bad. Ooh, the service bad. We want competition. The service bad. Man, listen, the service bad because the people who run it bad, run the people who run it don't sell your things. You understand, but who calls in competition on themselves? We the people need to understand that them things is ours. Them people who we put them there to look after our things, not to sell it. If I had a bunch of taxis or some school, and I hire you to manage my taxis, you ain't got no permission to sell my things. How you get permission to sell my things? And Lincoln being went through something about breaking the thing. But the bottom line, like I say, Scrooge, I don't want to take it, but like I say, Scrooge,
yeah,
we need to stop the stupid things we be listening to around here, right?
Yeah, that's
if
why.
If the government can't run an entity, the government can't run the government. All right? Because the government includes a bunch of different other things.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying, right? But on that charge with that gun thing, right, Scrooge?
Hey.
Like if you get catch red-handed, like how that boy get catch red-handed? Right?
Mm-hmm.
A guilty plea is unnecessary. You understand? Like
of course, you get catch red-handed. That's the minute you have all the evidence, so a guilty plea is irrelevant.
How you lose that case?
How you lose? There you go.
The National Security Minister was talking about sometimes people, how you can lose that case?
So you know what it comes. You know, we're trying to say corruption.
You can't, but I mean, I heard somebody, you're stuttering now. That could be the reason, too. You know what I mean, Scrooge? You know how things go around here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You understand? But the bottom line, Scrooge, is that if that was a murder case, right, and we used to hang people still, I would feel comfortable with him getting hanged because I know he's guilty.
Yeah.
I know he's guilty.
So, sense him pleading guilty.
You know,
he ain't wasting no court time,
A guilty plea shouldn't even affect the Senate.
There you go, my brother.
Because that's a foregone conclusion, but you
understand what I was saying.
Yeah, and like you was talking about earlier, Scrooge, like you was talking about, where these things come from? Like, if you want a leniency, tell us where you get this from.
Mm-hmm.
lead us to where you get these things from.
Tell us
what it, show us who all you and sell these things
the
to.
The custom officer.
Everything, school, something got to give. You got to give us something solid.
There you go.
You want to break because, brother, you
yes.
in a serious hole.
So if the Royal Bahamas Police Force, like I said, the commissioner of police won't break some of the gun rings in the country, eh? And that's on them. Well, you get a prime example right there. You should get some good information.
Scoot. You understand what I'm saying to my brother? Like you was talking about earlier, Scoot, you say it yourself. Let's find out where he's coming from. You understand? Like I said before, a guilty plea for that gentleman was a foregone conclusion. He even had to plead guilty in the world. If the government had taken him to the Supreme Court or whatever court he got to go to get a higher sentence, and they lose that case, everybody in the government is supposed to go to jail. Because they know how you can lose that case. You understand where I'm from, my brother?
I guess.
But school is not respect for the efforts that you're trying to put forward in your community, my brother. You know what I mean? Because the children need something else to, like I say, you know what I mean, to put their creative energy and stuff in. Oh, and school, you know something else I was thinking about school?
Go ahead, brother.
Imagine if you see them legalize the marijuana, right? Because, you know, if they legalize the marijuana and the big man, I'm selling it, you know, all the herb shop around the place closed down, you'd be surprised to see how quick they could close them down then.
Yeah, legalized, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But the question, Scrooge, is this then. What is going to happen to all of those young men who used to be selling weed? You understand? Now you know the kind of mentality they have. They ain't got no real go get up a 9-to-5 mentality, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what that means, we got more Batman on the street toting tool?
Well, I think that might happen. But, you know...
You say, Sandy, brother?
Yeah. You have the alternative. That's...
Yeah, because if they close down all the herb shop, because you know, Scrooge, if they start to do it whereas you need license and all these things to buy it, and they got certain people selling it now, like an official place.
You know
they can close down all... You know, them drones and everything else they have around, you can see them come with them because they can shut down everybody.
Yeah, you make sense.
They can shut down everybody then for sure. Because why? The herb man competing with them?
Yeah, I think it's mostly going to be a work in progress. You get it
now? So what's going to happen to all those people on the street?
Yeah.
Who's selling it now? You might as well just leave them.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's legal now, you know what I mean? If it's not as dangerous no more, all penalty, you might as well just leave them alone and let them do what they got to do, brother.
Yeah.
But school is not respecting you, man.
Thanks,
brother.
Man.
And all the best in what you're doing. And I hope you continue to grow in that program. And I hope one day, man, school, like we get to a point where, like political parties are no more.
Yeah.
And individuals
just
like
about
yourself. Individuals like yourself who have proven themselves in their community, proven that they can change the way they live for one, for how you used to be to how you are now, right? Because then you are even a better example to talk to young men who are now in the position where you used to be.
Yes, sir.
You could show them better. You know what I mean?
Sir.
But like I say, I hope the day comes, Scrooge, like when individuals like yourself, you know what I mean, and like who run communities like that, become automatically like a politician and a ruler of your community because your people want you to, and not through the regular political process, but because you have proven that you can bring solutions to the community and that you are sincere about making solutions. You understand what I'm saying, my brother?
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Peace and love, man. Scrooge.
Thank you very much,
good work, brother. And you know what I mean? But I'm glad you ain't sleepy. I'm glad you ain't sleep the rest of these people, man.
Yes, sir.
Peace and love, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Make a lot of good sense. We're going to take this next call. April, we can take the next call, if it's okay?
Yeah, bless up, Scrooge.
Hey, what'd you say? What'd you say, brother?
Yes, God, boy. I was down a little judgment on me, you know. Listen to me, the thing is, right, Scoozy, you know, the first half an hour, your monologue, I love it. You was real, right? The last brother, too, made a lot of sense, as he always do, right? But I think I like the concept of who we supposed to be fighting, right? But, you know, we are fighting amongst ourselves, right? Black on black, right? But I was taken aback when I'm still hearing Her Majesty's or the Queen or the King's opposition, right? When the brother was just now was talking so much nationalistic views and concepts, and so we're still saying the Queen's opposition, the King's opposition, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Our minds are being kidnapped. But, you know what I really want to touch on, Scoozy? Corruption, right? The Bahamian people are being hijacked between a rock and a hard place. We're being squeezed through the incremental invasion of the migrant influx, right? We're being squeezed by the government in taxes, right? And injustices, right? And we're being squeezed by the police force as far as injustices. And I like how you gave a quick chronology of the social structure within the inner city, right, Scoogey?
Yes,
which is kind of unique. So then I realize, who do you think suffering the brunt of these injustices, Scoogey?
Poor people.
Poor people in the inner city.
Yes, sir.
So I like how you're doing the cleanup campaign, because you don't give a S. You don't give a S if you're living in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? People living in it, so they don't really care. And so something you said earlier, too, and I really don't think, I mean, I don't know, some people are more wicked than others, but bad. I see, you see, the fellas running with their gun now. Like, see, the thing is, I hope they're listening to you, you know, Scoogey, or someone would be listening to you, right, Scoogey? And spreading the word, because, you know, I see you call my boy, and I see you call Sluggo name the other day on the radio.
Yeah, Sluggo, Sluggo.
Yeah, Sluggo know me good, Nasty know me good, you know what yeah. I mean? I see Alec, you're on the radio, so I don't want really...
Angelo Brennan.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, Bodhi, all of them know me, man. So yeah. I don't really, you know what I'm saying? It's be
you're old school, man. You're old school. You're old school.
Yeah. But not an old fool, right? But nah. I hear them crying out for the blood, for the boy with the thing them there, right? And so, they, I mean, I don't know. Who, if you have ever been to prison, Presley Fox hell, right?
Mm.
Then I feel as if, you know, like the other day when somebody, I think it was one of the best guys, or one of the guys, they was in prison the other day, and I think United States Human Rights, whatever entity it was, acronym, I don't know, I don't care. They came down and reviewed the prison, and they said Christ has arisen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you see the condition, the slum, you know, I be in the prison, you don't go there, they carry there, right? And you see what's going on in there, right, Scoogey?
That's a place for animals, man.
You see, and so 5 years is more like 10 years in foreign. So that's why the guy was able to escape, and obviously the term reduced. But
yeah.
Reform... And rehabilitation of the key words here, all right? And let's look at let's face the chronology of corruption. We will go way back from as far as, we could go back as far as the UBV, but they only want us to make it believe it starts from Bing them, right? You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
You notice that, right? They'll make you believe corruption starts from Bing them. But it was going on a long time in the country because all this country is set up. And the oligarchical structure will continue to remain in power. But I'm glad some rich people decided to help people in the
industry.
I can't hate on Mr. Simon, and I can't hate on anyone because they don't have to do that.
Yeah.
That's what I show people. I mean, when people ask you for things, right, Scoogey?
Yeah.
And they are impoverished or they don't have it, they think you have to do that.
No.
And that is the psyche what people use.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? But humanity.
Humanity.
Is in some people.
They get hard. The family get hard.
Because even within me, right, Scoogey, when I told Mr. Swan this morning that when I walk through the inner city, and sometimes it's just from like 2-3 corners away, and then you see how some people are living, but it's all the grove, and you just can't believe the disparity. And just a little, I mean, more recently, people have been asking you for a little change and things, to buy something to eat, buy this, and I don't know what they be doing, but I ain't talking about no one who wants drugs, because I know these people. You understand what I mean?
Yeah. It's tough, man.
So it's rough.
Rough over there.
They can need more handcuffs. All right? Now, for me, when it comes to... I want to make a comment on the marijuana industry. The brother who said it was kind of right, because whether you go to the dispensary and you buy the cannabis, you're still breaking the law because it's illegal. The psyche is entrenched in your mind. Mm. The police officer in the car with his little pea brains, some of them, can't really fathom passing someone smoking a joint in their yard or without criminalizing him. So then criminals smoke weed. And many people who are not criminals smoke weed. But the fact that back in the days, once you smoked weed, you was a criminal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, many people were criminalized for little insignificant amounts
of
weed.
Yeah. That was Naya Bingi.
That's what I'm saying. I'll be up to speed now.
That was Naya Bingi order.
Yeah, but listen to me. You saw the recent post. There was a post from a young man in Marder on the States concerning a search warrant being carried out of his house. And
yeah, money going to
you saw that, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, he is crippled, and he's a dialysis patient, okay? Mm. So if they could do that to someone allegedly, but you know everything, the neighbor's camera recorded the situation. I used to be in the park years ago, man. You know what I mean? That's right around the corner from Pinchas Stem. Just to let you know, I know what's going on. Eddie Green and all them things there, right?
All right.
So what I'm saying is, we're fighting the value of Alvarez. You give the little chronology of the little corruption and the other tactics that they use. They would transfer the police, keep them confined to the barracks, post them on the island. But they don't fire most of them. They just run the narrative to the public.
Yeah.
But they don't fire them, playing them. As an officer was mixed up in a shooting years ago. But anyways, what was this? From 1998, 1999.
And he's on the force today.
Yeah, he shot, he was mixed up in shooting the Darling boy, I guess, Clifford Darling nephew, almost 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was in Auckland at the time. So he, I think he's back on the force, but, you know, they couldn't find the gun and Ray, but somebody must have called and said he had a gun. I don't know if it was a shot, whatever it was. But you know, you could have a gun 4 o'clock and you have it 5 o'clock, but as far as you're concerned, they can say you have a gun and you block. So if someone tell them you have a gun, she'd be spraying skin white because they might shoot you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, brother.
So then we look at all of this corruption going on. Why can't they solve this problem? You said something that's very profound for me, Scoochie, that you didn't even know. I mean, like, are we going to continue this? You yourself said that funds are stolen from me. I had funds stolen from me back in the days and, you know, more than once. And, I mean, obviously, and so I couldn't believe it. You know, they, one officer, years ago, man, I was to Washington Street, and he, I mean, that was a boy smoking a joint. But the boy on the side of me was smoking a joint. I wasn't even smoking. But, you know, I used to smoke weed in them times. You know, and so he pulled up, and he searched us. And it was only me and the boy that he was fixing our vehicle. And he searched me and Ray, and he's saying, oh, you're tall, but we still won't get you, Ray. So he searched me, they had money on me, take the money in my pocket. Ball up the money. I asked him, why are you holding on my money? He's supposed to take my money and push my money back in my pocket, bro. This you there? When he ball up my money and pushed my money back in my pocket, and they speed up, Scoochie, my money was short. That's all I can tell you. And they couldn't believe it. I mean, everything is cool, you know. But see, what I'm saying is, they get the little intricate stories and personal stories. The burden shouldn't be on me to prove what they did. They should be wearing cameras. So they have the ability to turn it off, and that's what is being alleged, okay? So I don't know how we can make it. We are between a rock and a hard place. Somebody has to do something. Politics is, you know, like the guy was talking, yeah, I wanted, he's talking to the government entities, et cetera, et cetera. But politics has infected all of these.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have these problems. So it isn't like they don't have the capabilities or brain power to run these facilities. You know, politics is infecting all of these things. So then you'll have these type of things going on within these entities because of politics. This one come back, man. This one come in
power. I could be reinstated and my party come in, and then, he put me on leave, and we have to pay double the money for a senior cop like Clayton Fernando before he could be commissioner. And we're talking about those type of examples.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the commissioner didn't make a statement as regard to this.
No, I was talking on the whole.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is as it relates to the situation of Maradona, and the cameras reported them going into this house. So you see them jumping on the Jeep and doing whatever.
He needs to respond to these things.
The burden is always on the citizen.
Yeah.
To pull from the wolf in sheep clothing, which really is scary for me. But as it relates to BPL and mismanagement and government entities, I'd like for the young man to know that, I don't know if it's the steal of an element goes, but it was some agenda. You remember when, I don't know if it was the first inception of globalization, but I was telling people it's really globalization, right? From the years ago, I was saying that, but they didn't understand what I was saying. So remember now, Scoochie, they were saying the government should privatize entities to stop political interference because they're using them to hire people. And remember that?
Yeah.
All right. So that's one of the reasons why they was trying to coerce third world leaders into selling these corporations. But the real agenda behind it was money. But does it really matter? Because, I mean, I just passed into this life, you know. But injustices is the most thing that hurts me. So when I see politicians and other people not talking about injustices and really trying to clean up the country in a chronological way, this is all a farce. And you just explain it because only the people on the road really know what's going on.
Yeah.
So while people moving up and down, you know, I've seen an officer in a truck by himself this morning, not going anywhere, just decided he will turn on the siren and just blow through traffic. So he's obviously not on a call. And, you know, he's probably making an errand for a senior officer or whatever. I could just theorize. You know what I'm saying? But the level of goonery and what the BME people are being subjected to.
Yeah.
You're not saying that the police are not doing a good job. They are. The criminals, Scoochie, are not seeming, they don't seem to be learning something you said that was saying profound, that when they shoot someone, be prepared to get shoot out. I told Mr. Strong the other day, Scoochie, because I want you to verify this for me. I said, Mr. Strawn, everyone on the road wants to kill someone.
Of course.
And you never hear the Linares and the UDM Scoochie?
I listen to them on the park.
Scoochie, what I'm saying is they won't kill someone. You know what I mean by that.
Yep. That's what it is. That's the mindset. That's the mindset now in our country.
Yeah, they figure like that can bring them some fee.
Yeah, that's the talk now. It's like the Blue Jeans.
Remember and then they could get them up.
That's what I was talking about, the Blue Jeans and the white shades. It's like a trend now, you see. Everyone want to be killers.
Yeah, but you see what happened. He used Barry Punts pulled down so far, right?
Can't run.
Yeah.
So you can't run now and you get your gun, so that's the stupidity of now.
You can't even get in the fight. you know, like, say, well, like, finish, pull it down and you can't move. So
how could you be killed?
But a lot of young men wearing their pants drop way, way down and showing their underpants. They don't understand how it offends senior man them and things, but I don't say nothing to some of them.
Let me tell you, it's affecting them. This is how it's going to affect them. Tell them, right, they like to hold gun, right? They don't have no belts in their pants, right? The gun, the belt supposed to hold up the gun and hold the pants up so you can maneuver.
Yeah, but that's old school. I didn't wear him, but up. Excuse me.
I just said that. So these guys who...
Let me say this. So the guys... The short pants. Yeah. See, let me say something. The police, them... They have young people in the force, but some of them ain't really hip to what's going on. They use them as youth psychology on them, you know.
Yeah.
But let the public know the psyche behind back in the days, right?
Yeah.
Decades ago. The psyche behind a young man who said he got a 357. Yeah. Just the name alone was a psyche. So what you think with these youth them with posing off with these high-powered weapons on the streets? You think they should be respecting the police? And the police starting to flame that they can't team. So I urge them to really try and humanize this situation as much as possible and stop building up hate because the youth them angry for nothing. And the dog food they eat and the music. But I would hope they stop listening to rap given that Cat Williams and expose all of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
I don't listen to more rap music. I don't care who we know.
Rap music.
Did everything. Or
rap
did
music is a violence. Rap music right now. In
crap
the
music.
Ass,
let's call it crap music.
That's
crap.
Not even rap. That's crap music. In the ass of the young generation now, is teaching to be murderous and teaching the girls them how to be B-I-T-C-H. And how
you see
respect
them. You see how they do? You see how they do to the females in the music industry?
Yeah.
But
the way I go, though, I got a couple of callers, man.
Yeah, bless up.
Right. I know you're doing an awesome job. Yeah, I just want to comment real quick on marijuana conversation with the caller called previous, before 52 called in. And he talked about, you know, what is going to be the alternative for young guys who on the road selling their half bags, you know, because they have nothing else to do. Well, like I said, I feel that you have to be over 18. No school kids should be sold marijuana. No one should be selling no drugs around the school proximity. You should not be allowed to smoke on the buses and public places. If you have recreational use, you should be allowed to smoke in your yard. I don't know if they're going to allow you to smoke in your car, but you should be allowed to smoke in your yard. I don't know how much quantity they're going to allow you to have. I feel that if you get catch walking in the road, you should be fine because you're stupid. You understand? A lot of people don't like the marijuana smell, so again, you can't smoke in the public places. You should not be allowed to smoke in the house, even where your kids are. You know, the kids, if you're smoking, you should go outside. You should not be in the environment, even encouraging kids to smoke. And then, you know, the caller talked about, you know, what's going to happen to these guys who are selling the last bike. Well, there are many different uses of marijuana because you can make clothes out of marijuana. You can make fuel out of marijuana. There are so many different industries that you could make out of marijuana in the country. So what the Bahamas needs to do, instead of we just thinking of smoking and recreational use, let's look at it as a product where we can make pants, we can make paper, because again, last week I was talking about it. Do you know that marijuana makes the best set of paper? So that means we don't have to cut down the trees no more. And marijuana grows quick. And then we could grow a batch in 6 months, make paper, you know, make paper, yeah. Clothes, man, so much change. Just go punch up online and we could bring those ideas right here to the country. And I'm encouraging a lot of those guys now who are in the marijuana business and those who are looking to go in the marijuana business and who let the big companies beat you at it, go do your research, study on it, and find out, you know, how you can get your license. What product you would like to grow. You know, you might want to go in the clothes industry, or you might want to go in the newspaper, the paper industry, you understand, or some other industry, because there's so much. You know, I can't talk all right here, but if you go online right now, there are so many different uses for marijuana. You know, you could use it to build a car, oil. Man, there's so many different things we could use for it. So don't just look at it as a recreational use or legalize it or how much you can have in your possession. Look at it as the fact that it can be transformed into many different ways for you to start a lawful business in the country. We can take this last call. We can take this last call, April. Go ahead, caller, if you're still there. Sorry for that.
Hey, Scrooge, what's happening?
Hey, good night. Sorry for that.
No, man, take your time. But see, anytime 52 calls and the caller before him, it's extremely difficult to go behind them fellas, because them fellas they be 110% right on point.
I like that. You know what I mean? Yes,
so
sir.
I just try to keep it sporty. There's a flip side to a coin, you know. There's a head and there's a tail. The fellow with the guns. Everybody talking about the sentence. Yes, I think the sentence is too lenient because when you, like one caller said, if you catch me with something in my hand, what I can plead for? The only thing I'm supposed to ask the judge for is leniency.
That's right.
The judge did not to say because he plead.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Which didn't make no sense in the place. The only thing she's supposed to do was use her discretion as to how much time off the 10 years he can get and not 5 years.
So everyone read behind line with that. Go ahead. Go ahead,
because
sir.
5 years in this country, take off the 3 months a year. He down to 3.5 years. And if he behave, he could get 1 year off. But the real deal of the matter is, people talk about he can do time in boxes, but this first time offender with all them arsenal of guns, we're going to start up a small army right here. When he comes out of prison, that's the real a reality of what he did and the sentence. Because now, he is a criminal.
Hard enough.
He is now a criminal because he can't get no job. He can't get no this. He can't travel. So what in the world these people who bleed not think he's going to go back to?
Selling guns?
He's now a career. He's a criminal.
And he's in a place where gun talk is every day. And he's around where a lot of people who get charged with murder coming in every day. He's around where a lot of prison officers who are corrupted bringing drugs into prison every day.
See, Bahamians like to look at the cover of the book. People to tell you, if you want to get to know something, go inside the book.
Go inside. Go inside prison. You're flying
over. Dig deep. It's just like Patelko. That's my passion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had Patelko for 100 years. And yes, we had our share of problems, just like anybody around the world with their telephone company.
Man, so
tell me how much better the phone company today is than Patelko was. We still haven't dropped calls. We still haven't this. We still can't do no that. The only difference is payments. All our, I almost cussed just now, all our money going out of the country.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you why. It's
51-49, right? It's 51-49. The Bahamas government get 49% and the company get 51, right?
Listen, Scoochie.
Go ahead, sir.
I hear Dwight Depp talking about, we used to have 40 cents and now we can get 10 cents. See? Bahamas like to sell their soul for a bowl of porridge. See, this company here, the only thing this company operating is a DVD screen or a screen and a tower. You know, Patelko want to operate. Patelko want 3,500 breakers. They have to pay. Patelko want to maintain those towers. They have to maintain all of them offices in their family islands. They have to pay for this. They had to pay for the cars, the hundreds of cars. But like one caller say, at least it was ours, and we had Bahamians hired. So when you get your 10 cent off, go look at Patelko now and tell me what you see.
We never supposed to sell.
A skeleton. So they can afford to give you something for 10 cent.
Yes, sir.
Fools.
Yes. Thank you.
They're just insane. I end up to be a fool. Because we always sell our soul for pull apart. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much, sir. You're never supposed to sell your natural resources. You're never supposed to sell an airport. You're never supposed to sell BPL. You're never supposed to sell water and sewage. Nothing's supposed to be prioritized in the country. Anything that belongs to Bahamian is supposed to stay in the Bahamian hands, because guess what? When you come here, you can do business with us. You know what I mean? When you come here, business with us. Right now, you know what that means? Cable Bahamas, Alive and all those places. Some of us, you know, if the government did negotiate without selling them, you know what would happen? We'd have had free cable. We'd have had free electricity. We could still have free electricity in the country now. You know? That's why it ain't good to sell. And we still could find a way where we could get full control of these companies. But you never ever sell your resources. You understand? You sell the airport. You sell BPL. You sell telecommunication. You know what you do? Your foreign companies controlling your communications, controlling your food, controlling everything. You know what it becomes? You become dependent on those corporations. All right? So the callers are right. We don't sell nothing. Okay, we're completely out of time. I want to give thanks to our producer tonight, April. I want to say thanks to all the callers who did a wonderful job here tonight. And I'd like to say this again. Our minister is trying to get his second term. I think as leaders, as citizen country, when you hold the leadership of this country and you hold that position, you are responsible for the hospital, you're responsible for the debts, you're responsible for the poverty, you're responsible for everything that is happening in the country. And you have to be compassionate, a concern, and a place of integrity to understand that when you get in power, that your job is to make sure that when you see on the news a person who is sleeping in the car, or a person who is sleeping in the hallway in the hospital, or a person who was unemployed coming on TV asking for assistance, your job as a prime minister, or your job as an MP in that constituency, is to make sure that you show some concern and some compassion and find a way how you could help people, you know? And if you don't do that in your first term and you're asking for a second term, no, you don't deserve a second term, you know, because what you do to the Bahamian people is a reflection on your leadership. And if you don't care and you hold power and then you lose it, I don't think you should be given a second chance, because you hold highest position and you become one of the greatest people in the country who people respect and love. And your name would have been Great O'Dell. Your name is not Great O'Dell. So me, I just hope that, you know, whoever wins the leadership of the Free National Movement, I hope they continue to have Michael Pinta. You know, and that's just my two cents. And we see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9. Valentino Pran, signing out.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Baton Rouge. Boy, I from Baton Rouge. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they score.